Good morning. Today's daf in the Darm Lamed Aleph. We are starting with the Mishnah on the very top of the Amud. Here we are in the third parak of the Masechta. We're going over Lashon HaNedarim. So the beginning of the parak was a little more conceptual. It dealt with Nedarim that are not Nedarim because of context. Four categories of Nedarim, they're just simply going to be discarded, discredited, simply because you didn't intend to make a Neder. So when we went over the four categories, and that was the beginning of the parak, it took up a good part of the parak. Now, as we're approaching the end of the parak, so we're just simply going over Lashon Nedarim. So yesterday, there's one rule. Today, we're going to stay by that same rule. And that is that when it comes to Lashon Nedarim, so Hochanach Lashon Bnei Adam. So it's basically the way we communicate with each other. Those are going to be the definition of the words. Words have meaning, and the meaning is going to be defined by the way you and I normally converse and normally understand each other. So that means that if I use an expression and this is the way that's normally understood, so that will be the definition of your neder. You can't come along at a later point in time and suggest that I had a different meaning altogether when I said it. In other words, that's not the rule. The rule is Hochanach Lashon Bnei Adam. And as we pointed out yesterday, and the Gemara made this point very clear, and that is that even if the Torah's definition is not the same, so the Torah has one definition of the word, but we use a word slightly differently. So when it comes to a neder, it's going to be guided and legislated by the way we talk and not necessarily the way the Chumash talks. So of course that's very interesting, but the Gemara made that point really clear yesterday. So those are the rules regarding nedarim. And so with that stated, so today it's going to be more or less the same give and take. We're going to go through a series of Mishnayos, where we're going to see what the definitions of words are based on current usage. And I commented yesterday, and it seems like it's a fair comment, and that is that if the usage has changed, even after the writing of the Mishnah, so then the halacha would change. Meaning, it's not the halacha changing, God forbid. In other words, we're operating with whatever current definitions are, and the Mishnah is just simply referencing what the definitions are at the time of the writing of the Mishnah. That would seem to be the case. I'm not saying that I'm right, but I'm just, you know, it seems like a reasonable point. We're in the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Alpha. Lamed Alpha knows the Mishofsei Shabbos. So I've had it with Mishofsei Shabbos. You know those people who observe Shabbos? Now you and I call them Jews. So and it happens to be that, you know, we have a room full of them right here. Baruch Hashem. So, okay, good. So you're fed up. So you make a neder against Mishofsei Shabbos. So also be Yisrael, also Bekusim. So now your neder is going to include who? It's going to include Yisrael. It's also going to include Kusim as well. Okay, so we don't have Kusim around nowadays. Some suggest that Shamronim are part of it. Okay, good. Either way, the Kusim are historically a group of people. Right, the Kusim are historically a group of people who supplanted the Northern Kingdom. Right, the Northern Kingdom was taken out. This is going back to Bais Rishon. So the Northern Kingdom were taken out, and what Sancheriv did is he replaced them with Kusim. And so this group of people lived in Eretz Yisrael for years, hundreds of years, right? The end of Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni, okay, and even post Churban Beis HaMikdash, so you had Kusim. So they've been around for a long time. They converted. And as we know, we go through this all the time throughout Shas. It was unclear whether the conversion was a good conversion or not. The Tanaim argue whether or not they're Geri Emes or Geri Arayos. Is the conversion an honest and sincere conversion, Geri Emes? On the other hand, alternatively, Geri Arayos. They converted because the lion scared them to do so. Okay, on another occasion, I'll give you the background and the history regarding the lions. Not for now. Anyway, our mission is going to assume, is taking the position, they're Geri Emes. They're good converts. Okay, they're Jews. And effectively, they're Jews. So when I say that I'm making an ad during a show, say Shabbos, so it's including Jews, it's including Kusim. Kusim over here is just simply another way of describing Gerim. Okay. Sounds pretty straightforward, meaning they also are now Mechuyev to keep Shabbos. So hold that thought. Me'och Leisham, case number two in the Mishnah. That's it. Anyone who's eating garlic, I'm done with them. Now, once again, the eating of garlic, that's a description of Jews. Now, that's a funny way to describe Jews, that we eat garlic. And so this is going back to Takanas Ezra. When they came back to Eretz Yisrael to build Bais Sheni, so Ezra made a number of tekanas. The end of Baba Kama, I think, is where you're going to find all 10 tekanas. Anyway, the common theme of the tekanas, this is not true for every one of them, but a common theme of the tekanas of Ezra is basically repopulation. We came back into Eretz Yisrael with such a small population of Jews, and so Ezra really wanted to bolster the numbers. And so a number of tekanas that were made in order to make sure that we increase. That's the basic idea behind Takanas Ezra. Again, that doesn't explain every one of his Takanas, but That's the basic idea. But certainly that's behind Shum, right? The eating of garlic back in the good old days was viewed as something that would make a man more potent and more fertile. And so therefore, the consumption of garlic, especially on Friday night, on Shabbos, would hopefully result in more population, more peruvu, more population. So when I say ochle shum, so I'm talking about the Jews. It's another way of just simply describing Jews. So may ochle shum asuvi sova asubakusim. So once again, my neder is against those people. So it includes Jews and includes kusim. And finally, ole Yerushalayim. So asuvi sova mutabakusim. So here now is the big divide. If I had it with the people who would make aliyah, and again, we say aliyah over here, we're talking about aliyah l'regel. In other words, three times a year, we have a mitzvah to go to Yerushalayim and go be seen in the Beis HaMikdash. It's by the regalim. I know we all know. And so over here, if my neder now is against ole regalim, ole Yerushalayim, so you know what it includes Yisraelim, but it doesn't include kusim. Okay. Now they're gerim, and they're geri emes. And they have an obligation to go. So why doesn't it include them? Hold that thought. In a moment, we're going to answer that question. So my shof say Shabbos, ilay mem mekayim Shabbos, my yiriyah bekusim, my filo of the kochav and nami. So the Gemara says, now when we say shof say Shabbos, what do we mean by that? So presumably what we mean by that is people who basically don't work on Shabbos. I know plenty of people who don't work on Shabbos. In other words, Jews, non-Jews. So the Gemara says, ela ben mitzuvim al Shabbos. The Gemara says, okay. So that's not what people mean. What people mean is not that you don't work on Shabbos, is that you can't work on Shabbos because we're prohibited from doing so. So if the definition is of mitzuvah, so then we get to the end of the Mishnah, and obviously we're stuck. At the end of the Mishnah, Ola Yerushalayim, who is the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel? The answer, of course, is everybody, meaning Jews, converts are Jews. So everybody. So why in the world, by Ola Yerushalayim, are we saying that neder only includes Yisraelim, but doesn't include Kusim? Doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi, Mitzuvah V'yose, Ketani B'tarte, Babi Kamaisi, Yisrael V'kusim, Mitzuvim V'yosim, Ovdi Kochavim, Hu Da'avde, Osim, V'ena Mitzuvim. Ola Yerushalayim, Yisrael Mitzuvim V'yosim, Kusim Mitzuvim V'ena Osim. So in the terminology, what we're looking for is that the definition is commanded and actually complies with commandment. Mitzuvah v'osa. So when it comes to Shabbos, so how are the kusim by Shabbos? Good. Mitzuvah v'osa. Ochle shum, same thing. But when it comes to aliyah l'regel, so the kusim are obligated, but they don't do it. Okay, what happened was is that the kusim lived typically up in the north part of Eretz Yisrael, and what they did is that they made their own little makam mikdash, right? By Har Grizim, Har Eval. So they had like a little sanctuary, if you will. And so they were not Ola L'Regel. So even though, of course, they're obligated, meaning we're assuming they're Geri Emes, and right, every Kusim discussion is a strange discussion. They're obligated to do mitzvahs, but, you know, they pick and choose. They don't do all the mitzvahs. So here's one of the mitzvahs they simply don't do. And that is Ola L'Regel. So when we're saying that you are not going to get hanah from someone who is Ola Yerushalayim, so in that lashon, what's included is mitzuvah v'oseh, and the kusim are mitzuvah, but eino oseh, and that's why they're not included.
How about a Jew who doesn't observe Shabbos going to be included?
Right. It's a fair question. Huh? It's a fair question. I don't know. Okay, next Mishnah. Konim sheni nana levnei noach. So that's it. You're done with the bnei noach. So you say you're not going to get hana from bnei noach. That's your neder. So mutar b'sof aser b'ovdi kochavim. So over here, simple delineation between Jew and non-Jew. It's very simple. Now the Gemara says, okay, but let's just focus on the language. You said Ben Noach. Do you know that we, the Jewish people, are descendants of Noach? Now, of course, the entire world population are descendants of Noach. But we're part of the world population, so it's a little bit strange. I'm done with Bnei Noach, and that now is not going to include a Jew? So the Gemara's answer, V'Yisrael, first the Gemara's question. V'Yisrael minafik mechla b'nei Noach. So came into Ikdash Avraham, mitka roshmei. So the Gemara says, okay. And what happened was, is that, right, we're going back to last week's parsha, actually two parsha years ago, whatever. Avram now is given the name Avram, and you know what happens? Starting new, now we're going to have a new nation, a new nationality, and they're called the Yisraelim. Of course, genealogically, biologically, so we're descended from Noach, but okay. But in terms of labels and designations, we're no longer B'nai Noach. What are we now? We're B'nai, I was going to say B'nai Yisrael. We're B'nai Avram, right? Avram now is a restart. That's a hard restart. And so therefore, when I say that I'm not going to get Hana from B'nai Noach, it doesn't include B'nai Avram, meaning Jewish people. Okay, next. Sheinin Elazera Avraham. So let's say a person says that I'm not going to get enough from Zera Avraham, any descendant of Avraham. So over here we just flipped it. So now by Zera Avraham, so that means that my neder now is it's going on the Jewish people and it's not going on non-Jewish people. Again, simple differentiation between Jew and non-Jew, all coming from the word Zera Avraham. So the Gemara says Zera Avraham. So that's last week's parsha. So in last week's parsha, so Avram had lots of children, right? And even before last week's parsha, meaning even before that point in time, he had also Yishmael. So the Gemara says, V'yekil Yishmael. Okay, so Avram also had Yishmael, which now makes up for a good percentage of the population of this world to this day. So the Gemara says, Ki bi Yitzchak yikar lecha zera, ksiv. So the Gemara says, okay, so no. In other words, it's not going to include B'nai Yishmael because Ki bi Yitzchak. So again, genealogically, so of course Yishmael now is a descendant of Avram, but in terms of designation, categorization, it's Ki bi Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, okay, Vayika Esav. So now we're up to this week's Parsha. Oh. So in this week's Parsha, so we're all familiar that Yitzchak had not one, but two sons. He had Esav and Yaakov. So the Gemara says, no. So bi Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak. Once again, it's a drasha. So big Yitzchak, meaning within Yitzchak. So even within Yitzchak and the Zer of Yitzchak, so there's also going to be differentiation. In other words, there's Yaakov and then there's Esav. Okay, good. So when we say Zera Avraham, so we're talking about Zera Avraham, not as a biological status, but we're talking about in terms of a categorization and bris, and those who have made a pact, meaning us, the Jewish people. Okay, good. All right. We're up to the next Mishnah. This Mishnah over here, good, an assortment of Mishnah so far that we've done this morning that basically go through Lashon B'nei Adam. Good. And again, by the way, I asked a form of this question yesterday, right, but as long as we just finished that series of Mishnayos, meaning it's so interesting that we're looking at Lashon B'nei Adam and what is the gauge of what's Lashon B'nei Adam? You know, the couple psukim and diukim in the pasuk, right? And in other words, it didn't say Yitzchak, it said Bi Yitzchak. And meanwhile, the Gemara yesterday basically said, okay, the Chumash has one Lashon. That doesn't necessarily dictate what our Lashon is going to be. Okay, so when does the Chumash inform us what our Lashon is? When does the Chumash not inform us when our Lashon is? Okay, obviously it's tricky. Okay, anyway, we're up to the next Mishnah over here. This is by far and away going to be the more challenging part of today's daf. It's really not that complicated, but it's, you know, we're going to move up a level in terms of challenge. Okay, let's talk about a simple sale. I'm giving a brief introduction to the Mishnah. So in a simple sale, so what happens is that I'm selling you something. And so who walks away happy from the sale? So hopefully both people. Hopefully. In other words, let's say I charge you fair market value and now I unloaded my item and you purchased it. So now, who's going to walk home now happy? So hopefully the person who purchased it. In other words, hopefully he won't have buyer's remorse, buyer's regrets. And the seller's also going to be happy as well. Okay, I know so far it's pretty straightforward. But there are going to be occasions where we can limit the hana to either the buyer or the seller. So I'll give two examples. And I'm not randomizing over here. The examples that I'm going to be giving is going to be coming up in the Gemara. So let's say right now I'm selling something that really, it's unbelievably hot. It's a hot ticket item. Anybody and everybody wants it. And so therefore what I do is that somebody comes in and I sell it to him. Okay, so there, that is what's called the Zvina Harifa. Okay, the terminology which we're going to be hearing momentarily. So the Zvina Harifa, so there, the assumption is that obviously I made a sale, that's great, but in other words, but if it wasn't going to be you, there's a guy waiting in line right behind you, I could have sold it to him. So by Zvina Harifa, the assumption is that the buyer gets Hana, the seller doesn't get Hana. Okay. Let's go the other direction. Let's say right now I'm begging for a customer. Right. The door's open and nobody's walking in. And I'm not overcharging. I'm not undercharging. I'm selling it for fair market value. But man, oh man, am I dying for a customer right now? Finally, someone comes in And so, like, yeah, I'd like to buy it. You are the happiest person alive. So now there, the assumption is, and by the way, the expression that we're going to be using to describe that is Zvina de Ramya ala pay. Literally, I threw it in his face. In other words, finally, I have a customer. Finally, I can unload it. And so therefore, Hana now goes to the seller, not to the buyer. Okay? So based on demand, so we can now basically move Hana'a either where if supply and demand are level, or at a balance, so Hana goes in both directions. If, on the other hand, the demand is super high and I can have any customer at any point in time that I want, so then the Hana goes to the buyer. And if, let's say, demand is so low that right now I'm begging for a customer, so Hana is now going to go to the seller. Okay? And all this is not taking in the variable of how much I'm selling it for. Now, I know there are laws of Ona in terms of that I'm not allowed to overcharge too much and undercharge too much, but what I'm going to ask everyone to do, myself included, and let's put Ona away for just a moment. Let's ignore Ona. And there's another variable, which is, of course, is that if, let's say, I sold it more than its value, obviously, now Hana is going to turn in the direction of the seller. And over there, seemingly, irrespective of demand. And let's say I sold it at a lower price. So in other words, obviously, now Hana is going to move into the direction of the buyer. Okay. So there are a number of variables to take into consideration that in a sale, in a transaction, who's going to be receiving Hana?
Rabbi, normally when there's high demand, and even though you're saying the buyer Hana, the seller normally gets the higher price.
Okay, good, good. I'm with you. In other words, yeah, right?
It's a contradiction.
Yeah. It's a variable. Okay. So any enemy Yisrael. So let's say the following, and that is that the person makes the following declaration. That's it. Me and the Jewish people are done. I'm not getting Hana from another Jew. And lokech b'yoser u'mocher b'pachos. So now, whenever you buy something, you have to make sure that you're not going to get Hana from him. So therefore, as a buyer, so what do you have to do? You have to overpay. So now by you overpaying, so did you get Hana from him? No, by virtue of the fact that you paid more than its value, so you didn't get Hana. So, and when you're the seller bound by that neder, so what do you have to do? So you have to sell at a discount. So that way, you're not going to get Hana. Now, over here, what's the Mishnah not discussing? The variable of demand. Okay, hold that thought. We're going to come back to that. So she's all nenenli. So let's say now the person makes the neder, and that is that Jewish people are not going to get Hana from me. Okay? So basically, it's a neder, but flipped. And you can make such a neder. So so now, all we're going to do is just simply flip the positions of buyer and seller. So lokech b'pachos u'mocher b'yoser. So now, when you buy, so what you have to do is that you're going to have to buy less than its value. And when you're selling, you're going to have to sell more than its value. Now the Gemara says, and the Mishnah says, and this is probably the funniest line you're going to hear today, Vein shamem lo, but good luck. Meaning, look, you understand, of course, you go into a store, you understand that I made a neder, that no one's going to be getting enough from me, so I'm telling you right now that you're going to have to sell to me at a discount. Okay. Yeah. Well, great. And the store owner is going to look at you and say, look, there's the door. Okay, good. So sheini nena lehen vehein lo yena li. So vehein li yehena. So lo de kochavim. So and finally the Mishnah says, now let's say you make a bi-directional neder. I'm not getting enough from any other Jew. No other Jew is going to get enough from me. Okay, again, what's motivating this person to make such a neder? It's bizarre. So, but again, like I've said numerous times in this Masechta, I'm not here for motivation. Right. I barely understand myself and I'm supposed to understand other people as well. Okay, he made such a neder. So anyway, so in such a neder, so now what? So now you're stuck. In other words, what kind of sale can you be involved in? Someone's going to get Hana, meaning there can't be a sale without Hana. Your three options are either both of you got Hana, or buyer's going to get Hana, or seller's going to get Hana. But in other words, right now, if you bound bi-directionally Hana, I can't get Hana from you, you can't get Hana from me, so now what? So now what does that have to go to non-Jew? Okay. Oh, is it obvious? Okay, maybe. Okay, now, Amar Shmuel, so okay, fine. So like I said moments earlier, so the Mishnah's only variable that's taking into consideration is price. Now, and now I'm warning you, I'm warning everyone here that the other variable, which is going to come up momentarily, is going to be demand. Okay. So, but before we get to that, so a statement by Shmuel. I'm a Shmuel lokech kli mina umen levakrov anenas biado chayev. Okay. You're in a store. We all know. Right? Some stores even have it as a sign. You break it, you pay for it. Okay. So really, in other words, now into based on today's daf, so what you could do now is you could put up that sign and right underneath Nidarim daf lamed aleph, today's daf. Okay, so in other words, you go into a store, you pick up an item, you look at it, and no, it happens, you break it, and so now the halacha is, in other words, aside from the fact that the store owner wants it, but over here we're learning today that's the halacha. The halacha is that you pay for it. It wasn't my fault. Someone bumped into me. Good. Today's daf. Nensu. Even in case of onus, so you have to pay for it. Why? I'm a kasever. Anas lokeachi. So the assumption is that when you're the lokeach, so you're going to be getting all the hana. And therefore what? So therefore, when you're getting all the hana, when it comes to a shomer, and you're getting all the hana, so where does that belong categorically? Categorically, we call that a shoel. We call that a borrower. Now, obviously over here, he's not a borrower. He's looking at an item to buy it. But in other words, what's the svara behind a borrower? Hana shalo. Kol hana shalo. When you're borrowing an item, so that means that the owner of the item is doing you such a big favor. Right? In other words, he's not paying you, right? You're being a neighbor. You're being a nice person. Right? He's not paying you for the item that he borrowed. He's going to be using the item that he borrowed. And therefore, good. Now that you're getting all the hana, so all the hana means also all liability. In other words, including ones. You borrowed an item, it broke, having nothing to do with your fault. Yeah, but that's the halachas of shoel. When you get all the hana, so then you're going to have all the liability. The Gemara's assumption over here is that when you're in a store and you're looking to buy an item and you pick it up, so you're the one now who's going to be receiving all the hana. And the seller doesn't have any hana. Interesting. And therefore, if the item is broken, and even if it's an onus, you have to pay for it. Okay. So, hold that halacha of Shmuel in mind, and now we have to make sense of that halacha. So, we're going to do so in the context of our Mishnah. So, what do we learn in our Mishnah? So, I'm not getting enough from Yisrael. So, now, when the seller sells, so he has to be selling at a discount. Okay? So, but not shava b'shava. But if it's fair market value, then no. V'anas lokeachi, afilu shava b'shava. So, I don't understand. According to Shmuel, so in a transaction, who is getting hana'a? Only the lokeach is getting hana'a. That's what Shmuel just taught us. So, okay, fine. So then why does the price have to be adjusted? Even if it's shava b'shava? So the Gemara says, masnisim b'zvini derami alpei. So what we're going to have to say now is the following, and that is that the Mishnah, even though it didn't tell us this, the Mishnah is operating with another variable, otherwise known as demand. And what's happening in the Mishnah is that right now, seller is desperate to sell the item, and no one's coming in, and he's got no one interested. And finally someone comes in, even when you're selling at fair market value now, who does the hana go to? It goes to the seller, not the buyer. So the Gemara says, Imke Nemeresha. The Gemara says, okay, I can't consistently say that in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is talking about where there's almost no demand. So Lokech Bioser, Emeresha, Lokech Bioser. Meaning I go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, where in the beginning of the Mishnah, Lokech Bioser, that when you buy, you have to overpay for it. And which means then that if we're talking about where the seller is desperate to find somebody, So isn't that going to now be a case where the hana is going to go to the seller? And once again, go to the next part of the Mishnah, where your neder is that no Jew is going to get benefit from me. So now, when you buy, you have to buy at a discount, and when you sell, you have to sell for more than it's a value. And now, once again, if we're talking about where there's close to zero demand, and finally someone comes in, and so even if it's equal value, so the hana now is going to go to the seller, even when sold at fair value. So, okay, fine. So, seifa bezvina charifa. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to have to say is as follows. meaning that we're going to not only have to play the variable of demand into the Mishnah, but on top of that also, we're going to have to adjust. Meaning as we're reading the Mishnah, and it's not easy. In other words, it takes a little bit of mental energy. As we're reading the Mishnah, we're going to have to figure out, oh, that's a case where there's zero demand. Oh, that's a case where there is high demand. In other words, and we're reading the Mishnah so that we can adjust in terms of why is the Mishnah telling me that I need to either overcharge or undercharge? Oh, because there's another variable in the Mishnah, and we just have to figure out what that variable is. So the Gemara says, okay. So now we're saying that in the Seifa, we're talking about Zvina Charifa. Demand is so high. Which means that from the seller's standpoint, so now shrug of the shoulders. You don't want to buy it? Okay, good. There's someone right behind you who's ready to buy it. So now, if that's true, so then, afilu shava b'shava. Meaning, so then why did the Mishnah say that we're going to have to lower the price? You don't have to lower the price, even if it's fair market value. Meaning, by zvina charifa, there simply is no hana that goes to the mocher. So Elamas Nisan, we're on the top of the Amud Beis. So Elamas Nisan, Bizvina Mitzia. Oh, okay, fine. So in other words, the easiest way to say it, and the Ran, by the way, says that the Gemara even knew we were going to get to this point, meaning the fact that we went back and forth for just a couple of lines of Gemara, the Ran says it's because the Gemara just wanted to show us that this is really the only way to say the Mishnah. And yes, there were a couple of funny Havaminas, but here's the way to say the Mishnah. And that is Bizvina Mitzah. Meaning what happened in the Mishnah? That what happened in the Mishnah is that demand is even. There's a nice balance between the supply and the demand. Where I'm selling it to you, and if I can't sell it to you, there will be a person coming in at a later point in time. Okay, in other words, it's not like he's waiting in line behind you, but in other words, I know another person's coming in. So Zvina Mitzah means that demand is balanced. Okay. Now, in a balanced demand, so now who gets hana from a sale? And the answer is very simple. Both. Both parties get hana from a sale. Right? In desperation, where there's no demand, so hana goes to the mocher. In a case where there's a line out the door, the hana goes to the lokech, not the mocher. And if demand is just somewhere in between, between these two extremes, so then hana goes to both. Ah, so now that hana goes to both, so then you have to account, meaning, so now we've basically neutralized that variable, and what are we left with? So now we're left with, if there's a neder in either direction, so you have to now account for the neder. Demand tells us now that we're at a point of balance, and hana is going to go to both, so in order to now adjust, so now you have to change the price. That's what the Mishnah is describing. Good. That's easy. Now we get back to Shmuel. So now this discussion was started off by Shmuel. Now, as far as Shmuel's concerned, what do you say? You're in a store, you pick up an item, you're looking at it, someone bumps into you, the item breaks, so now you have to pay for it. So wait one second. Now this halach of Shmuel, what does Shmuel say? That you have to pay for it assumes that you're getting all the hana, he's getting zero hana. So the Gemara says, now, as far as Shmuel's concerned, Bizvina Charifa. Shmuel was talking about Zvina Charifa, where demand is at a high. Since demand is at a high, so now the hana is going all in the direction of the lokeach, and so therefore when the person picks up an item and since the demand is so high, so therefore if you break it you have to pay for it, which then begs the question, okay, and the Gemara doesn't clarify what the answer would be. It begs the question, let's say demand's balanced and you're in a store and you're looking at an item, you pick it up and someone bumps into you, so now what? From the Gemara doesn't treat that question, right? That's pretty much more the norm than it is. In other words, Shmuel is only talking about the exception where there's a line out the door. But in other words, in a normal case where demand is, let's say, balanced, so then would you have to pay for the item? In other words, because there's mutual hana in the transaction. You're going to get hana for buying it, but the seller is also going to get hana for selling it. And what happens now when you pick it up and it's broken? Okay, good. It's a fair question. Okay, I understand. That's, you know, obviously that obviously is going to be their position. Tanya Kavasi Dishmol, we're on Amud Beis, we're two lines from the top. So Tanya Kavasi Dishmol, okay, Chelam and Atagar, Leshagron LeBeis Chamav. So let's say the following. and that is your future father-in-law, and you want to impress him. So you send him a gift. New. So you call up your local store. You're like, do me a favor. Send this to my future in-laws. Okay? And you tell the guy, look, if he accepts it, meaning he wants to keep it, so then of course I'll pay for it. And if he doesn't want to keep it, so then I'll give you a little bit. What the Gemara calls Tova Sana. Tova Sana has an adjustable definition of what it means. In this particular case, Tova Sana means, basically, look, what did I do? I made a good impression. A good impression is value. It has value to it. So for that good impression that I made, whatever we can assign value to it, it's obviously not going to be the value of the item, but in other words, the fact that you went over with the item, presented to him, this is from your son-in-law, and the fact that he declined, but he was obviously, in other words, it made me look good with him. So under those circumstances, so we'll assign a value to that, and that's what I'll pay you. Okay, good. All this is fascinating. That's not the part that we want. The part that we want now is coming up right now. Now, Unso. So now, I sent him with the item, and what happens is that as he was going there, Ones, so someone bumped into him, and it dropped, it broke. So, Behalicha Chayev, Bechazara Pater. So as he's going there, so then Chiyuv, as he's coming back, he's going to be Pater. Mimneshu Kenose Sachar. So as he's going there, so he's going to be Chayev. Now again, right? Think like Shmuel. Shmuel's of the position that as far as the Lokeach is concerned, what's the Lokeach's position? In other words, he's going to have all the Hana. So since he's going to have all the Hana, so therefore, even in the case of Ones, once you're getting all the Hana, so now you're going to have all the liability. And all the liability would include even a case of Ones. On the other hand, if your father-in-law declined the item, and now you're coming back with the item, so that means we're no longer looking to make a sale. If we're no longer looking to make a sale, so now what is he doing? No se sachar. Now he's bringing it back. But in other words, but not in the context of a sale. Okay, so for now, no se sachar. So if you're going to get reimbursed for that, which you're doing, so now your liability drops down a level. You're not going to be chayv and ones. Okay, fine, good. So and that goes along the lines of Shmuel, and the Gemara has one more story to tell. So the story goes like this. So over here, so I have a little bit of a stable. I got some animals, a donkey, and what I do is that look, I want to sell some of my donkeys. So I commission somebody. Do me a favor. Right, take my donkeys out and sell them. All right, as far as profits are concerned, let's say we'll split the profits. Good. So I do that, and he takes out my donkey, and he goes, and as he can't find a buyer, and on the return, so what happens is an ones, circumstances that were beyond his control. Right, a car slammed into the donkey. Okay, I know anachronistic, but the car slammed into the donkey. The donkey died. And now what's the halacha? The halacha is, this is a braisa. So the halacha is, no, I'm sorry, I take it back. It's not a braisa. Okay, I was wrong. So anyway, it's an incident that occurred. And then in a moment, we're going to hear Rav Nachman telling us that the guy has to pay. And even on the return. Oh. So the Gemara says, Chayvei Rav Nachman l'shlumei. So Rav Nachman says that he has to pay, even on the return. So Eisvei Rav LaRav Nachman Nansu Baalichad Chay B'Chazara Pater. So the Gemara says, okay. So Rav says to Rav Nachman, I don't understand your psak. Let's go back to a brisa that we learned just moments earlier, and that is that the gift that's given to the father-in-law. So as the person is delivering the gift over there, and an ones occurs, so you're going to be chayiv. But as you're coming back now, so in other words, the transaction now has been declined, and now you're coming back. You move down from being a shoel to now being a Shomer Sachar, and therefore your level, your degree of liability also is going to be reduced. And you're not going to be Chai for Ones. So over here, I don't understand. You sent the guy with your donkey in order to sell it, and so he couldn't find a buyer. Now he's on his way back, and Ones occurs, and you, Rav Nachman, want to say now that he should be Chayev? I don't understand. But the Gemara's defense of Rav Nachman is very simple. Amr Leh. So Rav Nachman says back to Rava, So Chazar de Safsira holachihi dielam mishkach lezvuni afilu ababa de base imilam mazvun like. He says, no, you don't understand. When I'm sending somebody to sell an item, so when he's going to sell the item, the answer is really simple. Any opportunity that he can get. In other words, on his way there, if he finds a buyer, he'll sell it. When he gets to his destination, he finds a buyer, he'll sell it. And yes, and on his way back, even by your front door, somebody notices you walking back home with the donkey and says, hey, is that for sale? You light up. Yes, it is for sale. Okay. And you, in other words, you'll be ready to make a sale at any point in time. So unlike the case of the gift to the father-in-law, we're there when you're coming back, so you're no longer coming back with the intention of buying it. In other words, at that point in time, gift decline, and now you're just simply bringing it back to the Baal HaBas, in this case, the son-in-law. Good. So you're no longer chayav anonis. But over here, though, every opportunity you have to sell it, so therefore you're going to be chayav afilu ba'onsin. Okay. One more Mishnah to go. So here's our game plan. What we'll do is we'll do the Mishnah. So we'll cover the Mishnah, and at that point in time tomorrow we'll start with the Gemara. Okay, phenomenal sugya from here through tomorrow's daf, meaning even up until now, phenomenal sugya. But konim she'ini nana la'arelim. So let's say the following, and that is, I'm not going to get hana from those people who are uncircumcised. So mutabrele yisrael va'asur b'mulei avde kochavim. So over here, what did you mean? You didn't mean the actual physical act of circumcision. What you meant was basically Jew versus non-Jew. Okay, arelim over here is the way that we use to describe non-Jews. The Gemara is going to make exactly your point. Very good. So shaninen elamulim asabrali yisrael mutar b'mulei avde kochavim. So over here, when I say that I'm making hana that anyone circumcised, I don't want hana from anyone circumcised. So good. So now, once again, we're going to say the same thing. So in other words, basically what you want is a hana that you don't want to get benefit from a Jew. This particular Jew didn't get a bris milah. He's included. But he's not circumcised. No. The word circumcised, uncircumcised is just another way of saying Jew versus non-Jew. Shein arla, kruya ela, l'shem ovdei kochavim. Because when it comes to arla, so it's a term. Again, it's the same idea that we've been expressing last couple of days. It's a term that it's at its core, its definition is, it means that when I say an Arul, I mean a non-Jew. And when I say a Mulin, as someone circumcised, I meant a Jew. Shenemar ki kol agayim arelim v'chol beis yisrael arelelev. And the Gemara over here cites a number of psukim that give us this impression as well. And again, by the way, like I said earlier, like I'm so confused, meaning... Right, when we talk about Nedarim, we hochenach aloshem b'nei Adam, and not necessarily what the Chumash says. And now, in terms of giving us definition for what the word means, so we're citing a lot of psukim. Okay. Anyway, so Shenemar, so the first pasuk that we just quoted is from Yirmiyahu, and that's called Kigol Agoyim Arilim V'chol Beis Yisrael Leilev. Okay. V'omer, and furthermore, is a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, V'ayah Plishi HaRel Azeh. Okay. And then Vomer pen tisamachna benos plishtim pen ta'alozna benos ha'arelim. Okay, and this is Shmuel Beis. Anyway, comes out from all these psukim that we see that the term is just used as a way of describing non-Jew. Arel is just simply another way of saying non-Jew. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer mu'usehi ha'arlosh and iskana b'rishayim shenemer kigol ha'goyim erilim. Rishayim are described as arelim. And he quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Same pasuk that we quoted before. I'm not sure what Rav Elazar ben Azariah is adding, but in other words, but I'm saying this in context, but it's a bad word. Meaning, when you're describing someone as being an Arel, it's not a pleasantry, not a compliment. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Gedola Mila Shenichrutu Ala Shlosh Esrei Brisos. So here now, as long as we're discussing an Arel, so the Mishnah is now going to go over the flip side, and that is. And somebody with a bris milah, I'm telling you, it's a big deal. Bris milah is a big deal. 13 brisos. In other words, if you go through the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, when the mitzvah of bris milah is introduced to Avraham Avinu, how many times are you going to see the word bris? So you're going to see it a total of 13 times. 13 covenants were made over the bris milah. Rabbi Yosef Amar Gedola Milah, Shadochas HaShabbos Chamura. And we know that the eighth day comes out on Shabbos, so which is going to win out? The Shmir Shabbos or the mitzvah of milah? Mila is going to trump Shabbos. Once again, an indicator of how big a deal Mila is. Rabbi Yeshua Menkar Chamar Gedola Mila Shalonin Lola Moshe Hatzadik Allah Melosha. Kadosh Baruch Hu had zero patience for Moshe Rabbeinu when it came to the mitzvah of Mila. Moshe Rabbeinu was on his way back to Mitzrayim in order to save the entire Jewish people, but, in other words, he didn't give his son a Mila. And Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to kill Moshe over that. He had zero patience for a lack of a mitzvah of Mila. Reb Nechemya Omer Gedola Mila Doche Shedoche Es Anagayim. So let's say that there is a saras on the arla. So what's the halacha? The halacha is that you cut off the arla. In other words, you give the bris milah. There's an iser in the Torah of hishamer benegat saras, that you're not allowed to cut off arla. Okay, that's true. But in other words, but over here, the mitzvah milah is going to be doche. And Rabbi Omer Gedola milah, shekol mitzvah shasa Avram Avinu l'nikra shalem ad shemal shenemra hitzalech lefanai ve'yesamim. Avram Avinu was considered only perfected only after the mitzvah of Mila, even though prior to that point in time.
Why couldn't we delay the bris because of the
tzaras? Okay, good. That's what it is. Oh, because of the tzaras?
Yeah.
Okay, so the mitzvah, that again, an indicator of how important the mitzvah of Mila is.
No, but we delay if the baby's sick.
That's the kind of nefashos.
But the tzaras is not?
Presumably, no. I don't. None of us have ever experienced the rouse, so we don't know. But presumably the answer is no. Okay, davar acher gedola mila shiomala hi lo barak Kadosh Baruch Hu es olamo. Shenemar kamar Hashem lo brisi yomam v'layla. Chuko shamayim ba'aretz lo samti. The entire world is only going to be built on the mitzvah of mila, the only kiyum ha'olam. The fact that the world sustains is only because of bris mila. The Ran adds one more over here. I'm going to read it. The Rebbe Omer, in other words, it's not in our girsa, but the Ran has it. Rebbe Omer Gedola Mila, Shishkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvah, Shenemar Hinei Dam HaBris Asher Karas. Okay, corresponds to all the mitzvahs of the Torah. We have a number of mitzvahs like that. Right? Tzitzis is, the one that first comes to my mind. Tzitzis is Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvahs. So over here, what we can also add to that is also the mitzvah of Mila. Mila also is Keneged Kol HaMitzvah Shebetorah. Good. And if you want to hear more about the significance and importance of the mitzvah of Mila, so please come back tomorrow. Right, Daf Lamed Beis, right, Leiv, right, the heart of the Masechta. And the heart of the Masechta, so the Gemara is going to espouse the significance and importance of the Mitzvah of Mila. Good, Adkan. Today, just in terms of a quick recap of today's Daf, so the beginning of today's Daf, a number of other examples in the Mishnayos, in terms of, when it comes to Nedarim, Hochanach, Halashem, and Adam, most of them have to do with, in terms of a delineation, differentiation between Jew and non-Jew. And the terms that are used to describe Jews, terms that are used to describe non-Jews, good. Then, at the bottom of the Amud Aleph, going into the Amud Beis, so we went over sales and who benefits from a sale. The easy answer, the simple answer, is both. Buyer and seller are going to be benefiting from a sale. However, there are two variables to take into consideration. One is going to be demand and the other is going to be price. So if there's a discount, so now Hana now moves in the direction of the buyer. If there's an overcharge, Hana now moves in the direction of the seller. And then, on top of that, the other variable to take into consideration. And that is if demand is super high, there's a line out the door. So now Hana moves in the direction of the buyer. If, however, nobody's coming in, you finally get a customer, Hana now moves in the direction of the seller. So you take those two variables and basically just plug it in. What happens now when the neder is made and I can't get Hana from you? Alternatively, you can't get Hana from me. So now you have to take those two variables into consideration. Interesting, by the way, that the even with demand being not balanced, price can make up for that. Meaning, the Mishnah made that point really clear. Well, I should say better. The Gemara made that point really clear. Meaning that the Okimta in the Mishnah is that in the event that there was an imbalance in terms of demand, so price now will move the Hana in either direction. Discounted in the direction of the buyer and overcharged in the direction of the seller. Okay. And then finally, the last thing that we did today is a Mishnah on the Mitzvah of Mila. Right? I make a Hana against Arelim. That's non-Jews. Even if a Jew is uncircumcised, he wasn't in my neder. Because the word Arel is a description of non-Jews. And when I say Mulim, other way around. I meant Jewish people, not non-Jews. This particular Jew didn't get a bris milah. No, he's included my neder. Okay, Adkan.